The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We all have that opportunity at this season to send out greetings. We send out Christmas cards or holiday greeting cards, and we send them to lots of people we may send a card only to once a year. Aunt Ethel or etc. And sometimes the cards come back. And we have no idea. Did they die and nobody told us? Did they move to a new place? Did they change their address because they're hiding from our Christmas card? It may have been forwarded once, and they didn't think enough to send us their new address when they received our card. Certainly all the cards I send aren't answered, and that's okay. But we're searching for that last known address. Sometimes you send it to the family home, and hopefully someone there will pass it on to your friend. If we search for the last known address of God, where do we look? We might think of writing heaven, but that seems pretty undeliverable. We could write Jerusalem. That'd be closer, or Bethlehem, or maybe Nazareth, as we heard in today's gospel. But would those letters be delivered to the God we are hoping to write? I usually send my letters to God by prayer, which I know are pretty much universally deliverable. No postage necessary. But I remember as a little child wanting to do just what King David is in this first reading. I wanted to build a temple for God. And I searched and searched and searched the house for all kinds of things. The cardboard box wasn't going to do. God needed something more precious than a cardboard box. Now, the metal 3-pound coffee can, we're getting closer. Those are really durable. You can build a lot of things out of those. They don't burn either, which is a plus when building a temple of God, right? Which often would involve flames if you're a little kid. But if I'm going about building the temple of God and I'm really excited about it, and then God says, "Excuse me, David, I created the entire universe. Instead, I'm going to build a house for you. It's interesting, right? We want, just like David or as a little child, we want to box God up and have God all in this little box right here. The Catholic Church has a long history of boxing God up, right? We keep God locked up in the tabernacle. There he is, body, blood, soul, and divinity, safe from anyone getting him. Does the Lord of the universe need my protection? Right, in canon law it says the tabernacle shall be through bolted. Right? So a molly bolt is going to save the Lord of the universe. Certainly we do that, that the Blessed Sacrament might not be disgraced or used for other purposes, right? But do we really think God needs a building made by me? Or do I need a place as a human person to find God in a particular way? I spend a lot of time outside. I love being outside. And I see God's fingerprints on everything. The way water works, the way trees grow, the way glaciers go. I mean, think about when God wanted to carve deep, huge valleys, he sent snowflakes. And tremendous patience. And valleys, beautiful, deep valleys, were born. We have a God whose vision of how things work is way beyond what we might be able to capture in a beautiful building, or poetry, or the Word of God. God is bigger than all of those things, and yet I need an address to be able to touch the holy. And yet God says to us, let me build that for you. I think it's really peculiar as I meditate on the incarnation that God didn't know what it was like to be a human. He created us. And certainly some of the artwork that I've created, I think I know what it means to be that artwork. And then someone else sees it and sees something entirely different. And I'm like, I don't know. Even about the things that I've created. Parents, do you fully understand your children? And why they do what they do, when they do it? Spouses, do you fully understand each other? Right? I'm pretty much stuck in the male mindset. I've got a male brain. And women are a mystery. Interesting that God said, you know, I don't know what it means to be human. I'm going to fix that. Mary, do you want to help me? And Mary goes, what are you thinking? I'm 13 and betrothed. It's going to be really hard to tell Joe about this. God desired to be human. And we don't know if there should have been a Blessed Virgin Samantha or a Blessed Virgin Jessica or Elizabeth, or we don't know how many people God asked before Mary said yes. Maybe only one. But Mary has to have the option of saying no. Because I know in my own life I say no often to the incarnation. I say no often to the Word of God becoming flesh in me and totally transforming my life. But it doesn't have to be that way. Mary was promised several things. She says, hail you, full of grace. Well, that means probably we lack nothing in order to accomplish God's plan. And if that wasn't enough, the angel said, be not afraid. The Lord has called you to this mighty task, but you're up for it. We know. We know you better than you know yourself. You can do this if you surrender to it. Because it wasn't going to be anything that Mary did. I'm sure she went home and had a kind of a brief conversation with Joseph before he left, frustrated and confused. And then she says, you know, maybe I should check up on that angel. Maybe it was just a dream. I got to go see my cousin Elizabeth. And she found Elizabeth, right, 6 months pregnant. She doesn't leave for another 3 months, so that when she comes home, everybody kind of knows. And in the meantime, Joseph's had a really important dream. Think about the promise. Mary, do not be afraid. If you want to enflesh the word of God within you, go forward, you can do it. She still ponders and wonders, how could this be? And then God says something most amazing. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Anyone here baptized? Confirmed? Baptized and confirmed, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Do not be afraid to bring the Word of God to life. What does it mean to have the power of the Most High overshadow you? Protection, guidance, comfort. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit filling you up? I think we all know. We have insight into life in a way that's beyond our imagining because the Holy Spirit is in us. Yes, Mary did it the first time in flesh, the Word of God, but we're called today to do the same. And if the Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High overshadowing, wasn't enough, Mary promises to be with us as well. Remember the great Marian devotion of the Catholic Church? None, nobody. Anyone have a rosary in their pocket? Anyone know what a rosary is? When we meditate on the life of Jesus through the eyes of his mother, we have an opportunity to experience that power of the Most High and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we are a little less afraid. Will we allow Mary to walk with us and guide us? Will we allow her to guide us to greater holiness? Everything she has done in all of her apparitions throughout the centuries have been pointing to her son. She points to her son in tremendous love. And she says, be connected with this one, and you'll have life beyond your imagining. We have a God who is love and desires to be enfleshed in us. David wanted to build a temple, and God said, no, I will build in you a house of God that will never pass away. Paul says the mystery hidden from the beginning of creation is now revealed in Jesus Christ. We are to do the same thing. We are to enflesh the Word of God. How do we do that? It's interesting that God, when Jesus came, didn't desire to be in a particular place, right? He desired to be in relationship with us. He desired to enter into the human family as his first place where he would learn to love and be loved as a human person. Can we have human families that are oases of love in a society that has forgotten how? If we really saw the Word of God enfleshed in the human family, could I belittle my neighbor or attack my cousin that I don't really want to show up for breakfast or Christmas dinner? Or, you know, they never really liked my gift anyway. They're jerks. Is that how I treat the Word of God enfleshed in those around me? Yes. Not proudly, but yes. Can we do better? Absolutely. Do we have help? Yes. And I would suggest we're about to do something most amazing. And I have a lot of friends who worship in the Cathedral of the Outdoors, right? Praise God for trees and granite and glaciers and sunrises and sunsets and beautiful ponds. The beauty of nature is covered with God's fingerprints, but God is there differently than he is here. We're about to come forward and consume the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Does anybody know the Hebrew word for yes, let it be done to me? Amen. The choir, yes. Well, the side chapel. Someone over there said, amen. I believe, let this happen as you have said. That's the answer to almost every one of our prayers. It was in the second reading when we come forward and say amen to receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord in the Eucharist. We're enfleshing the Word of God. We're making that yes of Mary continue on down through the centuries. 20 centuries so far. It might end this week. It might go on for another 20 centuries. We have no idea. But our small part is to make the Word of God enfleshed today and to carry that good news of God's love out into the world. So may I suggest that if you're interested in sending God a note, God's last known address is you.